Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be with you on Tuesday night's More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. I have an exceptional guest on the call this evening. It's my privilege to have the one and only David Wood, one of the top inspirational speakers in the world. He's also one of the top trainers when it comes to the art of getting your message across and speaking. And David has trained thousands, and I do mean in the thousands, and shared the stage with some of the most inspirational speakers in the entire world. So we're very, very fortunate to have David on tonight's call. This call will be recorded. I'll bring David out here in just a few minutes. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, give you a little background about the David Wood tonight. I'm going to interview David, and this call will be available on podcast tomorrow at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I live in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area of California, so that call will be available on the East Coast at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Now, Australia, that would be about 15, 17, or 19 hours forward, whatever time zone that would be for you. So if those of you are on tonight's call for the first time, I want to welcome you to the call. I've been hosting this call for 18-plus years. All of the calls that I have hosted have been recorded and are available on playback and or download. You can find those calls at calls.goldenmastermind.com. I'm in the process of building an entire new website that will have many, many free products and downloads available to you. My main website, as always, for the last 18 plus years is www.goldenmastermind.com. This Saturday, I will be in one of my favorite places in the United States, the East Coast, the northeastern portion of the United States. I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. And I want to thank Drew Berman and also Alexis Romano and all of her team who will be filling up the seats. That will be a standing room only event, as most of my events are. August 2nd, I'll be in Seattle, Washington. And I want to thank Sarah Spencer, who has been a longtime first-class client and friend, for hosting that event. August 9th, Columbia, South Carolina, with Jennifer Trinkner and Bridget Bartley, who have been exceptional friends and clients for years. September 6th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I did get a bigger room for the event coming up. We had 180 people at the last event in a room that held 140. Now, that took some ingenuity. September 20th, I will be in Orlando, Florida. Alexis Romano is hosting that event, and I'm doing an event with Alexis the following week, September 27th in Weehawken. October 18th, my first speaking engagement in Denver this year. And then November 1st, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts. And I'm in the process of booking San Diego, Los Angeles, and Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona before the year ends. If you'd like me to come to your city, and you can put anywhere from 50 to 100 people in a room, please contact me as soon as possible. Last weekend, I spoke in Pleasanton, California. I want to thank Randy Bird, who did an outstanding effort in creating another standing room only event. Anyone who's on this call who'd like to take advantage of my coaching services, you can contact me directly at 209-932-0227. I have coached over 50,000 plus hours, coached over 9,000 clients, and routinely have a 12-week waiting list for my services. So if you'd like to find out more, feel free to call me or contact me on Facebook. So with that, we will move into our inspirational portion of tonight's call. David Wood, do I have you on tonight's call?
I am here, Jeff. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm doing exceptional, David. I'm going to give you the proper edification that you deserve to be on this call. Now, David, on every Wednesday, we have about 2,000 and 3,000 downloads. Routinely, when Susan's on the call, Susan Sly, who's a mutual friend of yours and I's, we will have about 5,000 downloads, but I know we have really promoted this call because you're going to bring some great value. So I'm predicting, David, that you will assist us to set a record tomorrow. So let me tell you a little bit about who David Wood is. David is the host of the Kick-Ass Life podcast. Now, many of you have had the privilege of seeing David speak at your company. He is an integral speaker in the world, but he's also a top-tier speaker in the network marketing and direct sales industries. Now, his Kick-Ass Life podcast is broadcast in over 200 countries and features the most respected speakers and authors, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders in the world. And most recently, David has just launched a new podcast, Amplified Network Marketing. As a network marketing expert himself, this podcast is designed to assist people grow their enterprise and their wealth as he interviews leaders and experts all around the world. I've had the privilege of being on David's call. I know Susan Sly has been on his call, Alexis Romano, and some of the top speakers in the world. David is an author, trainer, life coach, humanitarian, and business leader who has lived, traveled, and produced in over 50 countries, bringing his passion for people, culture, and the unknown to everything he does. David brings exceptional inspiration and power to his presentations. I've had the privilege of seeing David, speaking with David, and he's also a business leader and has grown a multiple million-dollar companies and is a strategic consultant for a $1.5 billion health and wellness company located in the United States. David, great to have you on tonight's call.
Well, you know, thank you, Jeff. And I just want to say something. I you know, the impact you have on people's lives, and I have spent a lot of time with people that you've coached, and I know you don't know I'm about to say this, but, you know, the ripple effect of the coaching you do, I know you talked about people wanting to coach with you, and I just watched the results of that, and I just want to say thank you for all the great work you do and how many lives you've impacted. I mean, it's going to be in the millions with the work you do, so thank you for that.
Thank you, David. That is a first-class endorsement from a first-class man. You know, it's awesome to have you on tonight's call. I have followed your career, and I know you followed my career. I've watched you just absolutely impact lives yourself. But, what, you know, a lot of people don't know the whole history of David Wood and what a successful career you had before the David Wood here, and they also don't know that the David Wood I know has also been through some of the same ups and downs that Jeffrey Combs has been through. So can you share with the folks just a little bit about how you were not an overnight success to be the top-tier speaker in the world that you are today?
Well, yeah, well, thanks for that question. You know, I left school when I was 15. I remember I sat down with my history teacher, and he looked me in the eyes. His name was Richard Osler. And he says, David, he says, you're the worst student I've had in 37 years of teaching, and you're probably going to end up in jail or on the streets. And I left school angry that day. I was angry at my parents. I left home around the same time, and I started dabbling in business. So the thing that changed my life, really, because when I left England at the time, you know, I was heavy into drugs, alcohol. I was, you know, in jail and out of jail stealing cars. You know, I didn't feel like I was a bad kid. I was just an angry kid, you know, and I was pissed off with, excuse my language, with the whole world, right? But something happened to me where I left England on a six-day trip, and that trip was to go to Tunisia. And I was so ignorant about where that was. I didn't really know where that was in the world. All I knew that me and 12 of my friends were going away on an all-inclusive cultural holiday where, you know, we just, you know, drank every day. And when they left, I had about $2,000 left in my money belt. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to travel until this money runs out. And then I'm going to go back to England and show everyone where I've been. But when they took off on the plane that day, I remember turning around and suddenly being terrified. I didn't have this kind of shield of all these friends around me. I was suddenly alone for one of the first times in my entire life in a culture I didn't understand. I didn't understand any culture, let alone a Muslim culture. And there I am in tiny shorts and a little muscle shirt, which, again, was upsetting people because of showing my shoulders. A lot of things I was doing within their culture showed no respect. And I remember locking myself in a hotel room for 7 days, and I almost went through half of my money. I was just terrified. I was terrified to go out. I didn't understand anything, right? But that journey lasted 10 and a half years, 42 countries, and I worked all over the world. And, you know, when I came into Canada, I was illegal here for a little while, and I remember sleeping on a roof the first night. And the reason I slept on a roof is I had this little deal with myself. When I went into a new country, I wasn't allowed to spend any money until I had a job and I had somewhere to live. And my first job in Canada was at the Admiral Motel, and Gene and Alan still own that motel. It's in Victoria, British Columbia. And I worked in a fish and chip shop in the afternoon called Bob's Fish and Chips. And, you know, it wasn't long after that I stumbled over this profession, this worthy, beautiful profession, and someone shared with me a videotape, an opportunity videotape. And I think I watched it like 40 times. And I actually borrowed $800 to buy a jacket, a tie, a pants, and a pair of shoes. And I traveled 4.5 hours on a bus to go to an opportunity meeting because I thought, you know what, if this is really true,
I could really do something with my life, you know. And I started really embracing network marketing. I got into it. I was awful in the beginning. You know, I just ran. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to ask for help. I stumbled around. I fell. I quit. I went into another company. And then one company I went to, they said, look, you know, we have this 2.5-day personal development program. And they made me read the book, Think and Grow Rich. And I remember in that moment, I'd never thought those thoughts. I'd never been introduced to those thoughts. I'd never had the concept that I had ultimate power, that I could have whatever I wanted. And I really started to immerse myself in this profession. And I started to learn right at the very, very bottom. And now I've worked corporately. I've worked as a consultant. I've been in the field. And I am absolutely in love to the depth of my core with this profession and what it represents. And I know every day I wake up, I want to serve the profession in some way. So
that's a great story, David. Do you remember the very first audio that you saw back in the day?
You mean which company?
Yeah, no, do you remember the first audio? I was curious what the audio you saw. Do you remember it? And I'll tell you one of the first ones I saw.
I don't remember it, no. What was yours?
Burke Hedges. Do you remember Burke Hedges?
No. Nope.
Burke wrote a book called Who Stole the American Dream, and he did a VHS with Tommy Lasorda. In 1990, we used to play it at opportunity meetings, Who Stole the American Dream. The very first audio I ever heard was the great Nightingale Conant, and I heard it on 33 and a third LP in 1975, and I was hooked.
Well, I remember. I remember watching The Strangest Secret, and
that was it.
Just after I read Think and Grow Rich, and this was this crackly old recording, and I don't know how many times I watched that, maybe 100, I don't know, but I just remember this big booming voice of his, right? It was awesome.
That was the great Earl Nightingale. For those of you who have never seen Earl, he was the founder of Nightingale Conant. David has shared the stage with some of the top speakers, Bob Proctor and some of the other people that were very instrumental in that program very, very early. So there's a deep history in personal development, self-improvement. If you ever get the opportunity to spend time with David, David is an absolute expert in the history of the industry of network marketing, direct sales, and personal development, and is very connected to some of the same friends. You know, David, your story is very similar to a mutual friend of ours, the great John Assaraf. Your story, I was like, wow, it's exactly like this. And I know you've shared the stage with John. Who are some of your mentors in network marketing and direct sales that you recall and in personal development over the last 30 years that you've been in free enterprise?
Well, you know, when it started out, I was really, I went to one program. I didn't understand this concept, and it took me a while to really get it. It took me 12 years to realize that I was the most important investment that I could make, sort of, you know, actually investing in me. So I went to one personal growth program. I started to buy a new library. I read all the classics, Think and Grow Rich and How to Win Friends and Influence People, all the old classics. And then I moved away from it. I moved away from personal growth as a philosophy or as a way of life. And it took me a lot of years. I got to a point where my marriage was on the rocks. The same poison that was coming out of my parents' mouth to me suddenly was starting to come out of my mouth to my son. And what happened with me is my wife asked me to go to a personal growth program actually run by T. Harv Eker. And Harv was running a program called Warrior Camp. I had no idea. I thought his name was Herb. And I don't know if you've heard, he wrote the book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And I remember going to this 5-day full immersion program. And that's where I started to understand the importance of personal growth and actually using mentors, finding people to mentor me and sort of really looking for and learning from, I mean, really everyone around me that was, you know, was moving in the direction I wanted to move in. So I worked with Harv, I worked with Jack Canfield, I worked with Mark Victor Hansen, I worked with, you know, Tony Robbins. I sort of went through anyone, and not always well-known people. There were some people I went to, and even their names elude me now. I went and did some really small programs, intimate programs in Los Angeles, where I was working one-on-one sometimes with coaches. I went into a spiritual development. I went into mental, financial, and I started to really apply, and that was the difference. There was a lot of people I knew who went through similar programs. I think one year I did about 13 programs, and I know that sounds extreme, But I was someone who I kind of woke up and I realized that I had never really invested in myself. I traveled around the world and I developed a real ability to connect with people in an authentic and open way. But I never realized that I had this, again, this power that I could have whatever I wanted. I could bring something up and I could create it. I could have as much money as I wanted. And so I really started to make myself a primary investment. And still today, you know, I find if there's something that calls to me, I'll go and do trainings. But I would say that, you know, I think that each one of us are drawn to certain people. And I know with my own students, I've trained about 400,000 students now. I would say, you know, it's easy to sell a program, but it's the challenge is creating a following, like you have, Jeff, where people follow you, they trust you, they understand that as we grow as individuals, as I keep growing, my programs grow. As I grow more and more in different directions, I write new programs. I'm constantly developing new materials that I bring to my students, typically around my own life lessons, the things that are going on for myself, right? So, again, there's been a real a wide variety, and I still, you know, pick up the classics. You know, and I just did something yesterday. This might sound strange to some of you on the line. I was interviewing someone the other day, and they said that they pay their son $100 to read certain books if he does a book report on it. And it went through my head initially, and I know these people are very, very well off. They make over $100,000 a year in network marketing, and they were over $1 million in debt when they started. And as that sort of ruminated through my head, my son came over last night, he's 16, and it was my birthday yesterday. And I said, Cal, come up to my office, and I have a bookshelf here. And I said, would you be open? I know you're looking for work right now. Would you be open to this idea? And I offered to pay him $50 to read certain books, you know, and I gave him, he took 8 books. He went through my library and he took 8 books, including The Four Agreements with Don Miguel Ruiz, who's a friend of mine, great, great guy. The Answer by John Assaraf, that's another amazing book. It really teaches you, you know, how the brain works. He took Think and Grow Rich, just all these different great books that he took. So, you know, it was a simple act, and I really think he's excited about learning this. And I said, there's a book here, Cal, that I think you may enjoy. And I said, it was How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he said, yeah, I'd really like to read that. And I realized I don't have a copy of it in my library now. I must have lent it out. And so I'm going to go and pick that up tomorrow. So anyway, does that answer that question?
That absolutely does. David, network marketing and direct sales has changed since you and I started. I started in the network marketing industry in the late 80s and was full-time by 1990. Never went back and worked a job. But the industry has changed a lot in the last 24 years. And I'm watching people creating 5 figures a month faster than I've ever seen it before. How important is it to really understand not just your company, but our industry?
Well, you know, and I think what's happened and what I love about the world in general is that authenticity is becoming and transparency is becoming sort of a new standard. And I think young people are driving that. I think young people have a BS meter where they pick up on when people are being fake. And I think, you know, when we grew up in this industry, that, you know, the term fake it till you make it, and, you know, I remember having that $800, you know, outfit on and being so broke that I would raid my roommate's fridge and take food because I couldn't afford to eat. And yet here I am pretending that I made money. I mean, it was the old way of thinking was just pretend you're rich and try and pull that off. I think today what's really beautiful about when you find the right company, when you find the right home, and there are certain things to look for in finding the right home, and there are really 5 things. And I have a video on YouTube called MLM Mythbuster, if someone wants to watch that. And I talk about those 5 things. What to look for in choosing the right home. But I think what's really happening is that the great companies are really the culture within the company is really allowing people to step into a level of authenticity and transparency and sort of removing the mask. And because the great companies focus on personal growth, you know, there's a wonderful saying that says, my wealth can only grow to the extent I grow myself, is that the companies are really allowing people to grow themselves and their income. The more impact they have, the more transparent they are, the more authentic they show up, and the more professional, the way that they come at this and approach it as a real profession. And we know with any other profession on earth, I don't care whether it's an electrician, you know, you're still going to put 4,000 or 5,000 hours into learning how to become an electrician, or whether it's a doctor, you know, you're going to put 15,000 hours into learning how to become a doctor if you specialize. But, you know, this is the only one of the few professions that really have no ceiling, have this incredible, incredible opportunity to grow yourself in all areas of your life, health, you know, parenting, financially, all areas of your life. And yet a lot of people step through the door and they're only around for a few weeks and somehow they think something magical is going to happen without really treating it like a real profession and really, you know, going after some of the simple skills. And what I love about it as well, Jeff, is that most of the skills we need to learn are human skills. They're not incredibly hard skills to learn and master, but we do have to practice. We do have to, you know, to treat it like a real profession.
Exactly. And what you're really saying is that most people aren't willing to pay the price of the 10,000-hour habit. And the 10,000-hour habit's a metaphor Malcolm Gladwell stated in one of his books. And the 10,000-hour habit means the emotional and physical discipline to be able to succeed one day at a time over a long career. And just like you said, network marketing and direct sales, the skills are not that difficult to master, but you have to be able to master your emotional state. David, I remember even 3 and 4 years ago, I was watching some of the older traditional companies attempting to seduce their sales force into believing not to use social media, that social media doesn't work, that it's going to be a fad. Well, I see those companies, they aren't on the leaderboards anymore, because the companies today that have products that people can actually use in social media have really gained an edge, and those companies that have brought those products that are consumable, that actually have value, that don't have the trans fats, the GMOs. Those are the companies that are sexy today. I remember back when I started in my first shakes, they were soy products back 25 years ago, and I thought they were great. And, you know, people got results from them, but it's a different world today. There's a different visibility. Have you ever seen the Food Babe, David, who has really created a brand online? Have you ever seen a woman called the Food Babe?
No, I haven't. No, sorry.
Well, on a weekly basis, I watch her grow her likes on Facebook by 100,000. That means that people watch what she says because she's someone who's an advocate of the food industry. And in today's world, you have to be educated on your industry and your company, as well as a little bit about your product services, but most importantly, investing in yourself. David, can you share some real selling tips? Because I know some of your real skills are teaching people how to master the art of persuasion, selling, and most importantly, speaking. So if you had a novice on tonight's call and they're saying, well, I'm not good at sales. Do I have to sell anything? And I don't like rejection. What advice would you give to the people on the call that are relatively new about mastering their emotions so they can become professional salespeople?
Well, you know, and again, I think that sales, the word sales, you know, is one that will often, a lot of people, I don't like selling. And yet, if you talk to that same person and you ask them and you dig around inside of them and say, you know, end game, last breath on earth, what do you want your life to have represented? And they'll use words like legacy and impact, you know, and living a life of purpose. And I think, you know, quite often we mix up that word selling with, you know, what we really want is to have an impact or know that our life had meaning of some kind. And so I think what's beautiful about network marketing, it's not for everyone. I believe it is. If you have the right company, yeah, it could be for everyone, but it's not the time for everyone. So I think when you're starting out, one of the hardest things to truly understand is the art of listening, the art of asking great questions, the art of finding out where people are really at, which, again, are these human skills. You know, and I love asking the magic wand question. You know, I like saying to someone, look, if I gave you a magic wand and money and time were of no consequence, you could have all the money in the world, all the time in the world, what would your life look like right now? What would you be doing right now? And that question can elicit sometimes a 25 or 30-minute answer, and people will talk about, you know, traveling the world and visiting remote places with their children, you know, about contribution, building schools in Guatemala. I've heard everything. But really what I do is when I start to really listen to someone about what do they want in their life right now, what are they looking for, and when I can get into those rich, rich conversations, and I don't have to do it right away. I can do it in a couple of days, or I could do it right there and then. I could say, hey, listen, if I was able to show you a way where you could, and I'll give you an example. The other day I was talking to a guy that works for United Airlines, and I said, look, Eduardo, if I gave you a magic wand, what would you be doing with your life right now? And he talked about building orphanages in Guatemala and giving back to his culture, and he really went into it, and there was emotion in his eyes. A little tear came trickling out, and I just asked him one simple question. I said, Eduardo, if you keep doing what you're doing, will that ever happen? He said, absolutely not. I just can't. And I said, well, if I was able to show you a way where you could do that, but you truly could build these schools in Guatemala and help these kids and really build a foundation that will change their lives, would you be open to taking a look at something? It takes about 30 minutes. It's not for everyone, but I truly believe in what you're telling me right now and what you're looking for in your life. This is definitely for you. And so even that type of approach, Jeff, where it's just a really an active listening, where I'm not in the getting game. I'm not trying to trap Eduardo into divulging something so I can jump all over him. I'm truly trying to elicit in him what he wants, because most people in their JOBs and their busy lives almost put everything they really want, the thing that they want to define their life by, on the back shelf. And it's only when we get into those rich conversations and when we can show them that there truly is a way where they can work part-time and find a way to create freedom by, you know, really following proven systems and by, you know, coaching and growing themselves, that they can truly, within 3 to 5 to 7 years, I mean, realistically, some people can move really, really quickly, but 3 to 5 years to 7 years, I like to talk about the 10-year mindset, you know, but within 10 years to completely recreate your life where you can go out and really build these dreams. So I'd say, you know, one of the things I would teach new people is the art of connection, is the art of really listening, the art of asking great questions, the art of not getting people. People don't like to be got. And if you're sitting there and you think, well, they got a credit card, they got a pulse, which most people in the beginning, that's the mistake they make, and they end up, you know, convincing them somehow to come in. And then they're a pain in the ass. They don't really want to work. They don't see the vision. They don't catch it. And, you know, remember, you don't get paid on people. You get paid on people who on the consumption of a product that someone falls in love with. Or you get paid on helping someone build a business. I always say, look, if you want to make $100,000 a year, just help 4 people make $25,000 a year, or help 2 people make $50,000 a year. You know, the math is really, really simple. You know, and Zig Ziglar always says, you know, when you help enough other people get what they want, you'll ultimately always get what you want. So in the realm of really selling, as it were, I always talk about the art of true listening, asking great questions. And it's almost like you're interviewing. Do you really want to be? I mean, Susan Fly told me this. I was at Susan Fly's house, and a lot of you on the call have heard from Susan, right? Susan and I are great friends. I'm having dinner with her, and so all of her kids are around the table. She's got a big family, you know, and her husband, Chris, is sitting there. And she said to me, she says, Dave, she says, you know, when I started out, if you had a credit card and a pulse, you were in my team. She says, now, she says, the people that I bring into my business are the people I want to invite to sit at this table and have an influence on my children. And that's the power of what we really have. As we start to grow this muscle and we start to understand what this profession really represents, and especially if we're in the right home, then what we can do is we invite people to come into a journey with us. And I promise you, you're going to become really, really good friends or business partners, and you're going to have a lot of impact together. So again, we're not in the getting business. We're in the real listening business. And we want to really be inviting people in that we want to work with. And you know, some people just aren't ready. It's not their time, you know. They can't be bothered. And it should get easier with time. Your network marketing business will get easier with time if you keep growing yourself and keep investing in yourself. What do you think, Jeff?
I feel that you really hit a nerve there, because that's what most people don't understand. They have an aversion to selling. Just the word sales emits feelings of pain and anxiety, so they end up avoiding perceived pain, and they never really understand what selling really is. Selling is being able to find a problem that someone may have and being able to resolve it. Just like you said, with Eduardo, you exposed what his problem was, where his passion was, and then also let it and found out if he had a vehicle. And what you did was you set the sale. The great Jim Rohn was just absolutely stellar at asking that question. It's not the sale, it's the setting the sale. I mean, that's really it. And so that was a great answer. David, let's converse a little bit about speaking. Now, that is really one of your niches. You are known as the train the trainer, and you, like you had stated earlier, you've had the privilege of mentoring with some of the top multimillionaires in network marketing, direct sales, personal development, self-improvement. I mean, the laundry list of your power of influence is phenomenal, but you have really branded yourself as train the trainer. And, you know, the number one fear in America, Canada, Australia, the world is public speaking. Can you give a few tips tonight on how to really improve your presentation skills? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people on tonight's call are doing presentations in their home, in their offices,
sure.
In their cars, on the phone. Can you share a little bit about how to overcome anxiety and improve your speaking skills?
Yeah, you know, and that's a great question. You know, I got goosebumps as you asked it, because this is a real passion of mine. I'm known as the trainer's trainer. And, you know, I've worked with some of the best in the world. And, you know, my journey was born out of a calamity. You know, I messed up a wedding. I was emceeing a wedding a long time before I was ever a speaker. And I messed it up so badly that the whole groom side of the family got up and left the wedding. And they didn't come back for the party, and some of them didn't speak to the groom for a year. And two guys came backstage where I was standing, and I knew I'd messed it up. And they looked at me and said, "That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen." So I went into a three-year exile where my life was almost on hold. I kept looking back and wanting to go back and fix that moment. I mean, you talk about total public humiliation. I was so scared, Jeff. I jumped on a plane the next day, and I flew to Europe, and I spent 3 weeks in Europe because I couldn't face anyone. All my friends were at this wedding, and it was just I totally dropped the bomb. And so there's a few rules that I teach. I mean, I have systems for every aspect of training, whether it doesn't matter what it is. I have templates and systems. And I often love, I love to run, you know, between, you know, 2.5 to 4.5 to 7 day programs on training trainers. But if I want to give you a couple of tips, one is remember it's a conversation, you know, and if we treat our speaking career as a conversation, and the audience is the other half of the conversation, so we can't speak at an audience. If we really want to evoke in them the their willingness to follow what we're doing, to be engaged and to be lit up, and that's our job. Our job is to light people's brains up. So even 10 years from today, they'll say, "You know that time when you were on stage in San Diego in 1989? I remember what you said," right? That's what a great trainer will do. It's called whole brain accelerated learning. It's firing all the synapses in the brain. And that's through a number of methodologies, but one of them is just remembering it's a conversation. It's allowing the audience, and it's not mean that everyone in the audience speaks back at you, but by using great questions, much like when we're one-on-one. If I just was on this call right now and I just kept talking for the whole 45 minutes or an hour, I'm not even sure how long it is, right, without sort of changing my tonality, without checking in, without asking questions, it's going to become incredibly boring. That's one. Enrolling the whole room, you know, really enrolling the room. So I teach a 10-step template for when we, you know, first go out on stage. And one of the first steps is to really just stand powerfully in one spot and just be silent and just look at the audience, connect with them, because that's a form of conversation. When we're looking at them in silence and the big power of the pause, they're really talking back. They're leaning in. They're looking. There's really a communication going on. And then by using enrolling questions, the first thing out of your mouth is always a question. The second thing out of your mouth is always a question. The third thing out of your mouth is always a question. And those questions will enroll, and they're designed to enroll 100% of the room. So those, there's a very, again, very, very simple thing. The other one is the audience is a star. And what I didn't know when I ran that wedding was I tried to be the star. I tried to be the center. I tried to be it. And what I've learned and what I teach is to help the audience become the star. And I use a system, a training template, and again, allowing the audience to both hear, to see, to communicate. So there's auditory learners, there's visual learners, there's kinesthetic learners. So there's all of these different methodologies. But even if you just tried a couple of things, next time you're out there, you know, just ask, give a concept and tell your audience, say, "Hey, just turn to two or three people and just discuss what I just told you and talk about how can you apply this in your life." And then go quiet and let the audience talk to each other. So you've given a great concept, a great point. Now you've given them chance, because if I'm an auditory learner and I need to speak to learn, I can't learn by just listening and I can't learn by reading. So if I have these great PowerPoints with 100 points on, I'm already wigged out. I can't, and you'll see the audience, the energy of the audience will cascade onto itself. So again, just by using all the methodologies, by using some great visual cues, auditory cues, kinesthetic cues, by you turning to someone and just talking about what you learned is a kinesthetic experience. So if I'm a kinesthetic person, I'm 100% engaged. So I'm using the visual. I'm using when I use a PowerPoint, I use great visuals. I don't use any one or two words or four or five words only on a PowerPoint. So I'm using these great visuals, again, giving people a chance to talk, writing it down, using writing. There's all these different methodologies, and what you're going to find is when you come off stage, the stage or the audience is lit up. They're not, you know, shuffling their feet. They're not wanting to run to the bathroom. They're engaged 100%. But remember, everyone in the room needs to be engaged slightly differently, and we can use all the methodologies very, very simply by truly asking great questions, giving them a chance to really absorb what they're learning, and then ask them the feedback. Who'd like to share? What did you just learn? How are you going to use it? And just by having someone stand up, and you give them a microphone if you've got a lot of time. If you've only got a little time, you just have a few call-outs, one-word call-outs. Two-word call-out. The audience is talking with you. There's a conversation. It's the art of conversation with a big audience. And listen, I train up to this. My next event's 11,000 people, right? Again, so it doesn't matter how big the audience is or how small it is. The rules are always, always, always the same. Make the audience a star. Truly listen. And when you give an audience member a microphone and they stand up and they share their gem, now, for the way they say it, because if they're an auditory person, they may use language that a third of the room never got from me. They didn't pick up on what I said, but that one person sharing it in a succinct way they did, right, now a third of the room just got it in a whole new level. So, again, it's really utilizing the audience. It's like being in a beautiful dance with them, and you're moving backward and forward with them, and it's a very, very easy and gentle process, one you understand about three or four really, really fundamental templates.
That was outstanding content, David. That was great. And so if someone wanted to come to one of your events, where could they find out more about that specifically?
Well, you know, my brand is AmplifiedNetworkMarketing.com. It's actually I have a free podcast that goes out a number of days a week. And if you go there, there's actually a free video series. If you just want to opt into that video series, it's the Never Quit video series. It's absolutely free. There's no games there. But what it does, it allows you to build a relationship with me. And I don't want to sell you anything unless you really, truly resonate with my particular brand. And, you know, a lot of people do. It's very down to earth. It's very authentic. But that's the way you can come meet with me. You can listen to some of the podcasts. You can get some free videos. The videos are only a couple of minutes long. They come once a week. And it will give you one small thing that you can work on that help you never, ever quit. I do leadership ones as well. So, again, it's all free stuff for you. And then I'll during that process, I'll introduce you on one of my calls to the upcoming events. I have a program called Amplify Train the Trainer, which is a 4.5-day event, which I run in my city where I live here in Kelowna, British Columbia, which is absolutely gorgeous. And I have an Amplify Leadership event. So you can just look for those types of events. And, again, they're typically anywhere from 2.5 days to 5 days long. I love 7-day programs. I own a private resort down in Belize. I'll often do a 7-day program down there. I understand the financial side for most people, you know, so I really try and make it very affordable for people. And it's a lot of fun, you know, and I'm very blessed to have as many beautiful students as I do, Jeff.
That's fantastic. David, I want to get your interpretation of the law of attraction. Now, many people have similar viewpoints on the law of attraction. I love Assaraf's definition. I've interviewed Mark Victor Hansen on this very call. I've had Stephen Simon, who produced the movie What Dreams May Come and Somewhere in Time's version of the Law of Attraction. Would you explain from your own interpretation the real science of the Law of Attraction? Because I know that you can really break this down so people can understand how important it is to change their vibration so they can attract what they require to be successful. Could you share with us on your science of attraction?
I'm not sure I can do this. Yeah, maybe the science part. I mean, I maybe not as good a job, but let me give you from a more of a human perspective of what I've learned. And someone asked me this yesterday. I went to a local yacht club, and I was dealing with a couple of women there. And the woman sent me an email this morning. She said, "How come everyone wants to help you so much? Because there's a waiting list to get a boat at our local yacht club, and it's it's like a 4 or 5 year waiting list. And all these women are trying to really find a way to get me into this yacht club sooner." And what I understand to be true is the world treats me as I am on the inside. So, you know, so however, whatever going on inside of me, whatever, however I treat the world, all right, the world is going to treat me back in exactly the same way. So if I'm an extremely kind person, if I do kind things without expecting things back, if I observe, I notice people, I notice where I can contribute to strangers. I mean, I tend to do random acts of kindness every day, and I don't count them, but I just small things sometimes. Sometimes they're big things. It depends, right? But I believe what happens is the world is going to reciprocate who you're being, and you're going to attract into your life exactly who you are. So if right now, if you're listening to this call right now and you're dealing with there's stuff going on in your life and it's not the most positive, if you've got some influences around you that aren't exactly positive, then all you do is you, instead of blaming or looking at them as the problem, what we do is we go back inside and we make an adjustment inside. We start to show up differently in the world. And this is where the personal growth journey really, really pays dividends. You know, having great stuff going in. Why I love network marketing, because you surround yourself with really positive people that are moving in a positive direction. And what's going to happen is, what will happen with negative people, they won't feel safe around you, because if you don't respond or react to that negativity, they've got nowhere to go. So they'll disappear or they'll shift. They're going to start to realize there's something in you they want, and they'll start to want what you have. But what often happens, again, when we don't understand this law of reciprocity, this law of attraction, the fact that we, again, I always think of it as this magic wand. It's like when I travel all the time and I always overpack, because I always pack at the last freaking minute. I never plan. I don't like packing, right? So my bag's always about 10 pounds overweight, because I throw everything in. Now, because I'm so late for the airplane, I chuck everything. I don't know, Jeff, if you're a planner or not, right? And so, but I rarely, if ever, pay overweight charges. Rarely, if ever, they'll talk about it. But there's the connection I have with the woman or the guy there. There's a connection, not because I'm trying to get out of my charges, but I see them and I talk to them. I find out their name. I interact with this person and as if I've got all day, even if I'm late for a flight. And I can't tell you how all the time people seem to go out of their way to help, to give you things that they wouldn't normally give other people, to allow you to really receive in direct proportion to what you give. But the giving can't be designed, or you can't give it from a perspective of wanting to get. It just has to become part of our DNA, to wake up in the morning with a really a servant heart, and to truly see everyone. I mean, whether someone is your gardener or whether it's the president of your company, it's to treat all people with this with reverence. To really have a moment, even in a busy rush, that there's a moment that you can stop. And even if you're really, really busy, you just, in that moment of connection, that you really are present with that person. And I believe what ends up happening is the universe will rush. And I'm not sure exactly how it works, Jeff, to be quite frank. All I know is over my lifetime, coming here with nothing, living on a roof with a backpack on, and is that I have found now that whatever I want in life, I have this magic wand in my hand, and it's right there. I have to get really, really clear on it. But the Lord, I can attract who I'm being. So if I'm being extraordinary, I attract extraordinary people. If I am being kind, I attract extreme kindness. When I am present, I attract these incredible presence. And I actually talked about it on my show this morning, which is really funny. I was talking about Mike Dooley. Mike Dooley's the famous author, and he's from The Secret. He's a really great friend of mine. I just married him. I was the MC at his wedding, but I actually married him and his wife, Mary Soul. And I remember waking up one day thinking, I'd like to have that guy in my life. Same with Jack Cantor, these people. It's almost like when you are so clear on how the law of attraction works, it's almost like whatever you think you want to have happen, it just can happen. And it sounds fruity, it sounds a little freaking woo-woo, but it all comes from those deep, deep down thoughts, the way I treat myself. If I don't treat myself with absolute kindness, if I don't treat myself and really, really be beautiful to who I am, I can't go out there and really show up authentically with other people. And then that law of attraction doesn't work. So it really starts with that internal dialogue, that really, I would say, environment, our thoughts. I know, Jeff, you can really do this, probably a better job. So why don't you end that one up? Does that answer a little bit?
Absolutely, it answers, because what it really means is what you send is what you attract. If you send a mixed message, you're going to attract people to fulfill the biochemical cravings that you become addicted to, which typically is disappointment. A large percent of the population lives in regret, guilt, and disappointment, and then they wonder why they don't receive what they're seeking. In reality, they get exactly what they give out, and that's what so many people don't understand is the power of word, because word is law, and your men and women constantly create laws with their words. And when I coach my clients, David, I point out to them that a large percent of the words that they use are disempowering. When you tell yourself you need to do something, there's no power in that word. When you tell yourself you commit, There's no backing out of a commitment. When you wish, try, hope, would like to, it never gets you to the land of promise. I'm going to have a couple more questions, David, before we wrap up here. And you've been just absolutely fantastic on tonight's call. Your content is stellar. Here's my next question here. You mentioned the term brand, and you said, I want people to really fall in love with my brand or my brand. And how important is it to even the new person on tonight's call to really understand how to brand themselves? Mm-hmm. And then what input could you give from the most common denominator on how to begin building a brand for yourself as a business owner?
Sure. Well, I think we all have a brand. We have a personal brand. It's funny because I was Richard Branson's one of my heroes. And today's show was about him. He's been a great inspiration in my life, and I made a commitment to myself publicly on my show today that Richard and I are going to become friends. I have this plan because I just feel like I really want him in my life. He's been such an inspiration for so long. But this idea of a personal brand, and Richard Branson does it best. I mean, he really thinks about that. Virgin, think of Virgin Records, think of Virgin Airlines, think of anything, Virgin Galactica. But, you know, when you look at how Richard conducts every moment of his life and how he is in the quiet moments when no one's watching, that's a brand. That's, you know, again, how we get out of bed is a brand, really. And that's how it starts. And then our company brand is going to reflect who we are as people if, again, we do the right job. Now, what I did is I actually brought a branding company in to help me find a brand, and they interviewed, actually. They interviewed the people closest to me. They interviewed my staff. They interviewed students. They interviewed people I've worked for. And they did about 15 or 16 different interviews, like a 360 interview, to find out whether what I thought of myself and how I depicted my brand was how other people saw that brand. And this is where I've sort of done this exercise. And it was a very, very powerful exercise. You know, and what they wanted to do is help me to find a way to express how I show up in the world as a brand. So the word amplify, you know, amplified living, amplified leadership, amplified kindness. I mean, I have this brand now that can cross over to all these realms with how I live every single moment. And when a brand becomes an extension of the very fabric of how we show up in the world, then there's a resonance, and that's what you see with Google, and you see that with, you know, with Richard Branson's brand. It really is just a simple extension of who he is. Warren Buffett's another great guy like that. I mean, try and think of a bad thought about Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, but there's something synonymous with his brand that just for me personally, I don't know if everyone feels the same way, but for me personally, it's about absolute trust and stability, you know. So again, I think what we want to do is we want to start our branding exercise with who are we and how do I want to show up? What message do I want to give to, you know, as I walk down the street? When people walk by you, they should be able to pick up something about you. There's a vibe coming off you. If you're really in the world, in your body, if you're really present, if you're really aware, if you really want to live an extraordinary life, there's something about the way you show up. When you walk in a room, people don't know. There's just something. There's something about you, and they love it. And that brand, that personal commitment to living, is what will eventually become the extension of your company brand. You may give it a different name, but within your brand is going to represent everything you truly believe, so it's congruent. And when your brand matches who you are on the inside, you got something going on, and people are going to start showing up. And you're going to wonder why. I hear terms like this. It's like people are falling out of the sky. And especially network marketers, when people really get this and they really get it on the inside, what happens is, people show up, their business starts to grow, and it's almost like they're still doing the same things they used to do, but these people just fall out of the sky. Does that answer it?
It does, and that goes back to law of attraction. So what happens to many of my students, and I know it happens to many of yours, is they break through, and they start to live the breakthrough factor, but they have challenges explaining it, and then many people say, well, it just happens. Well, you know that there is a science to it, and you really broke it down. It's like, and you said it, authentic. It's challenging to really develop a brand when you're incongruent with yourself, until you're really in alignment with your clearly defined goals, and you're really in alignment with your purpose, then your brand really starts to be your message. And so many people miss that because they're inconsistent emotionally, and then they're inconsistent in their life, they procrastinate, they're overwhelmed, and then most importantly, they're unorganized. And then they never really attract those two, three people that they require to create not only that synergy, but that velocity. there's a certain speed of money that has to be mastered. And if you don't master your emotional state, typically, you never have the ability to master the law of attraction. And what many people miss is it's not money you attract, it's the people you can collaborate with. And that's what I really wanted to ask the last question here, David, is on team building. Because, you know, like, the money is not in the enrollments, the money is in the culture. Could you share a little bit about how the network marketers and direct salespeople on tonight's call can really begin to build that culture that will allow them to break through?
Yeah, it's so funny. You ask great questions, by the way, and I've never been asked some of these questions before on any show I've ever done.
Thank you for the compliment, and you answer great questions.
But you know, kudos, because it really is. Because I feel the alignment with even this question. You know, the beauty of network marketing is the people, and the challenge is going to be the people. And the fact is, you know, I feel that what I deal with a lot of leaders, and you know, I'll give you an example. If I'm working with a leadership group, there's often stuff going on, you know, because obviously, you know, they can feel a feeling of competition, or they can be disappointment, or they can be all this other stuff going on. But people, you know, they leave it festering, and you can see separation in teams. And so this is where, again, you know, what does your team represent? What is the personal brand? What is your team brand? And how does your team, you know, deal with its stuff? How does your team, what is it, what is your team about? You know, and I think what can happen, what can really attract people to your business is really those philosophies. And, I mean, one of the philosophies that I really subscribe to is, you know, if you look at the four agreements with Don Miguel Ruiz, you know, be impeccable with your word. What does that mean, to be impeccable with your word? Well, impeccability first starts with how I talk to myself. I have to be impeccable with me before I can be impeccable with other people. But impeccability means that if I got something going on, if I have a problem with Jeff, Jeff's going to get a call from me if he's across the world, or I'm going to go and see him and say, hey, Jeff, there's something going on. And listen, my intention is at the end of this, I want to be closer to you, and I really want to sort this out. But could I have your permission to share with you that? Because there's something not right inside of me, and I'd really love to sort this out. And so when I go into conflict, I love conflict. I absolutely love it. And a lot of network marketers, when they're starting out, they don't. And because they don't, it festers. And their teams will often reflect that fragmentation. And then you'll come across a team that seems so unified, and it seems so powerful, and they sort of all sing from the same song sheet. They have a unified why, like a team why. Why they're doing this as a team, right? And so what I think is, it starts with you. It starts with, how are you going to clean things up when they get messy? Because I guarantee they're going to get messy. I guarantee that you're going to have problems and issues with certain people. And I don't mean just in your team, in your family, with your friends. You know, I always say my closest friends, I've had fights with all my closest friends. And I look forward to that day, because I know our relationship will be stronger. And I know I'm not afraid of the tough, tough, tough conversations. If I'm feeling hurt, I'm going to sort it out. So I think that part of a great team is really how, again, we conduct ourselves internally, how we're going to conduct ourselves in the hard moments. When those hard moments occur, remembering to go there and say, hey, my intention is for us to be closer at the end of this, but I really need to talk. Do I have your permission to really address this? And when you wave that flag and you invite someone in with the intention of becoming closer at the end of it, you'll be surprised what can really happen. And then when you start to see that, other team members start to see that, they start to act that way. So what you end up with is you end up with a team that's really clean. In other words, the stuff that needs to be talked about is talked about. That you start to have each other's back. And here's the other thing I really love, is immediate forgiveness. When someone makes a mistake, it's so easy to judge. It's so easy to condemn. It's so easy to whisper, that little whisper culture thing. And, you know, the hardest thing there is to forgive. It's just to say, hey, listen, and I try and look back in the annals of every mistake I've ever made, and I've made millions and millions, and I continue to make so many mistakes, right? So I attempt something, and I get away with it, I'd say 99% of the time, maybe even higher than that, immediate forgiveness. I just forgive people for everything, because I think most people are doing the best they can. Now, if it's a complete ass, I'm going to go and have a conversation with him. I'm still going to forgive. And, you know, if someone does this thing three times, I'm starting to think, well, maybe there's no forgiveness here anymore. Maybe this person shouldn't be in my sphere anymore. You know, there's no space for them in my life if they're really that inept. But that really, really happens. I think most people, given a chance, want to be extraordinary, but who's going to set the term? One of my favorite sayings that I've written, you know, is everyone's waiting for somebody else to go first, to hug first, to apologize first, to forgive first, to love first. And so when we can become that person that can be the one who goes first, who takes that risk, who steps over the threshold and offers the, you know, the olive branch, who offers the, you know, the shoulder, who offers forgiveness, I think extraordinary things can happen. And we do see it. Extraordinary people make extraordinary leaders who make extraordinary teams. So we just have to work on being extraordinary. And it's not that hard. We just have to, you know, really, again, if we followed the four agreements alone, that would help.
Thank you very much, David. Now, David, we're at the end of the call here. Your content was just absolutely off the charts. And I know you put together a product that people can really take advantage of, and everyone in this call deserves to take advantage of some of your great products. Would you go ahead and share with the folks a little bit about what you put together for them on tonight's call?
You know what I did? I thought about this deeply. And so what I'm offering is what I just offered a few minutes ago for now. And, again, I want you to come and come play with me and, you know, go to amplifiednetworkmarketing.com. There's a video series right there for you, absolutely free. And enter that doorway. And, again, I have a lot of different things I could offer you right now, but I'd love you to come in and feel that you really can find with me something that you need right now. And, again, we'll find out as we go. So I'm not going to do anything on the show right now as far as an offering. And, Jeff, I really appreciate the chance to do that. But I do want to welcome everyone to come and see. Come and play with the Amplified brand. Come and listen to some of the podcasts. Certainly have the video series come in. And then along the way, I'm sure that we're going to do some events together. Some of my products that will help you with your build, they'll be available too. So if that's okay, I'm going to leave it like that.
That's outstanding, and that just shows what a first-class human being you are. David, I will see you in about a month at an event where we both are speaking. You have a great evening. World-class speaker, David Wood. David, one more time, tell them how they can find you.
Okay, amplifiednetworkmarketing.com. If network marketing isn't your thing, you can go to thekickasslife.com. But amplifiednetworkmarketing.com is a great place to go. And, again, there's a little thing there. You can get 12 free videos on never quitting, and you'll hear some more philosophy. So I look forward again to know you and playing together. So
thank you very much. That is David Wood, everyone. I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. This call was recorded, will be available on podcast at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or sooner. If you're a Facebook friend, we do send out a message letting people know that the call that was recorded is available. In future calls, I will have Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, and a great Mark Victor Hansen on this very call before the year ends in 2014. I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. Have a great evening, everyone. Good night and goodbye.